If you're visiting with us, our church family is undergoing a year-long study based on a book entitled One Word, and we're calling it One in the Word. And we're exploring, studying a single word every week with some readings and a devotional book by this title. The word this past week, well, let me go forward before I go backward. This week, I'm asking us to double up, and we're going to study two words. And to fit the way that it's planned out for the year, we needed to double up on two of these weeks the way we've done it. And I'm asking us that we'll double up this coming week and read the sections, the readings on the words sin and wrath. Sin and wrath. That's the bad news, sin and wrath. But it follows, the next week, Lord willing, we'll be studying the word grace. But in order to understand properly and appreciate grace, we need to understand sin and wrath. So we'll actually have 10 readings this coming week. And so I invite you to read up on those two words this coming week. This past week, the word was creation. And that's the word for today. In our readings in the One Word devotional book, Kyle Butt posed these questions. These questions that have been asked since man was created. And that many answers have been given throughout the years. Where do I come from? Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? And where am I going? Very basic, fundamental questions. But the way that we answer those questions determines the course of our lives, the direction of our lives. And I want to zoom in on this question, from where did I come? Even that, how we answer that question determines the direction of our lives. It lets us know how we should view ourselves, and also it helps us answer this question, is there purpose to my life? Kyle Butt in our readings pointed out that there's basically two competing ideas in answer to this question, from where did I come? One is there's an atheistic idea. Atheist, one who does not believe in God. And according to the atheistic idea, humans are a product of random chance processes that have been going on for eons. This idea, Kyle says, is that a huge explosion brought our universe into existence about 13 billion years ago. With this explanation as to where we came from, according to this view, there is no ultimate purpose for humanity, and there is no ultimate meaning in life. In contrast to that, there's the Bible's explanation. The Bible says this, as Joey read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. His all-powerful might and all-knowing intelligence crafted a world specifically designed where we could thrive. And humans are not some cosmic accident, but are the crowning achievement of God's creation. Do you see the total different view of even how we view ourselves based upon the answer to this question, from where did I come? Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The Bible says that each of us has been created by God in his image. Again, not some accident that happened over eons of time, but created by God. There is no question of greater importance than whether or not God exists. The answer to this single question affects all other questions. So this morning, I want to review with you three reasons to believe in God and that He created the world. I'm not a scientist, but I hope to always have common sense. And so some of these things to me just make good sense. But I'm going to quote from some scientists and from those who have both atheistic and believing. But these three reasons really resonate with me, and I hope they do with you, as to some rational explanations, as to evidence that there is a God and that He indeed created the world. How can you know that God exists? You can't see, hear, touch, smell, or taste Him. You can't weigh Him. You can't put Him under a microscope. You can't magically make Him appear or take a picture of Him. But yet, though atheists contend that God does not exist, agnostics would suggest that we can't really know and He probably does not exist. Theism, belief in God, is the rational belief that there is a God. And I believe there's evidence that abounds, that shouts of a Creator. And here are three lines of evidence that I think make good sense. Number one, matter demands a maker. Matter demands a maker. No rational person denies the fact that matter exists. The logical question is, where did it come from? If it exists, where did it come from? A study of the material universe reveals that every physical effect, here's the science, every physical effect must have an adequate antecedent or simultaneous cause. That's known as the law of cause and effect, or the laws of causality. If something exists, there has to be a reason for it to exist and a power able to create it. Here's an example that Kyle Butt uses in a great article, Seven Reasons to Believe in God. He says, if you went to the moon and you saw the American flag, common sense would tell you that it didn't just appear by accident. That someone, 1969 is the date when this flag was placed on the moon, that it was placed there. There is a reason that it is there. All material effects demand adequate causes. So what caused the universe and all of the matter in the universe? Atheistic evolutionists have advanced several decades now that they say it became into being from the Big Bang. Allegedly, approximately 14 billion years ago, all the matter and energy in the universe was concentrated in a tiny ball of matter that exploded, causing the eventual formation of galaxies throughout the universe. Here's where my common sense comes in. Okay, if we accept that there was a Big Bang, that something exploded, and over eons of time has evolved into what we see now, the question for me still remains, well, where did that material come from that exploded? It still hasn't gotten to the point, to the origin of things. Where did the original ball of matter originate? Atheistic cosmologist Stephen Hawking stated on national television, nothing caused the Big Bang. In a book that he co-authored with another, The Grand Design, he says, bodies such as stars and black holes cannot just appear out of nothing, but a whole universe can. And I read statements like that, and I'm wondering, wait a second. That's a great scientific mind. You know a whole lot. But I don't see how you can get something from nothing. Todd Friel asked Dan Barker, one of America's leading atheists, do you really believe that something came from nothing? His response, yes. I don't know about you, but that just doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. In 2007, the New Scientist magazine ran a cover story entitled The Beginning, What Triggered the Big Bang? It was an attempt to explain the origin of the universe. Here's one statement from that article. The quest to understand the origin of the universe seems destined to continue until we can answer a deeper question. Why is there anything at all instead of nothing? That's a good question. It implies that if at one time in the past nothing existed, then it logically follows that nothing should exist today. And atheists cannot logically argue that the universe is eternal. There's another scientific law, the second law of thermodynamics, which states that matter and energy become less usable over time. And basically what that means, things are winding down. And if things are winding down, it suggests that there was a beginning when it was all wound up. The universe had a beginning. Since matter is not eternal, cannot create itself from nothing, something outside of the material realm must have brought matter into existence. In short, matter demands a maker. Matter demands a maker. Romans 1 verse 20. For since the creation of the world, His, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. One reason to believe in God and that He created the world is that matter demands a maker. Number two is that life demands a life giver. Life demands a life giver. Life does not just pop into existence from nothing. It doesn't spontaneously generate. Another scientific law is the law of biogenesis. Bio meaning life, genesis meaning beginning. And this law, simply stated, is that in nature, life comes only from previous life of its own kind. And it's been proven over and over and over. Life only comes from life of its own kind. In 1933, evolutionist John Sullivan admitted it became an accepted doctrine that life never arises except from life. So far as the evidence goes, he says, this is still the only possible conclusion. And again, folks, that conclusion has continued to be reached since 1933 and even before. There's an eminent evolutionist, George Gaylord Simpson, that observed that there is no serious doubt that biogenesis is the rule, that life comes only from other life. That a cell, the unit of life, is always and exclusively the product or offspring of another cell. So life could not have sprung from non-living chemicals. Life can only come from life. Then, how did the first life come into being? Did it somehow break the fundamental natural law of biology and arise naturally from non-life? There is another possibility. This John Sullivan that I quoted also wrote this. So far as the actual evidence goes, biogenesis is still the only possible conclusion, but it is a conclusion that seems to lead back to some supernatural creative act. And I'll amen that statement. There's basically two options. Even evolutionist and Harvard University professor George Wald stated this, two options for life's origin. Number one, spontaneous generation. Or number two, to believe in a single primary act of supernatural creation. There is no third alternative. So which is it? Life comes from life. It's the only way it can be. Anthony Flew was once an avowed atheist. For five decades was the world's leading atheistic thinker. He was forced in the end to conclude, and here's a statement from him, the only satisfactory explanation for the origin of such indirected, self-replicating life as we see on earth is an infinitely intelligent mind. That was his conclusion. That goes against what he stood for 50 years. Where the Bible has said all along, God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Life can only come from life. That's why I believe in God and that He created the world. Thirdly, design demands a designer. Design demands a designer. Complex functional design demands a designer. Paintings demand painters. Poems demand writers. Architecture demands architects. Cars and computers, we can't figure out anymore. They need these technicians that charge a lot of money. But design demands a designer. And no honest person can deny the universe is extremely fine-tuned and functionally complex. How could man ever send a man to the moon? How could man ever send these satellites into space? How could man send something to Mars? It's based on scientific laws. It's based on very complex, detailed, fine-tuned design. And to say that that happened by accident, folks, just doesn't make sense. Even atheists frequently testify to the design that they see in nature. There's one Australian atheistic astrophysicist, Paul Davies, that has admitted that the universe is uniquely hospitable. It's remarkable. It's ordered in an intelligible way. Another said, "Nature resembles a well-oiled machine. The more one learns about plants and animals, the more one marvels at how well their designs fit their ways of life." They see this design, and their only explanation is, it just took a lot of time to develop it, and it happened by accident. How can you get design without purpose, intelligence, and deliberate planning? A design is the effect not of time and chance and unintelligent, random, accidental explosions, but of the purposeful planning and deliberate actions of a designer. And that designer, I believe, is God. Honest observation and rational thought, I believe, should lead every truth-seeking individual to this same conclusion of that of the psalmist. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Isaiah 6, verse 3, one cried to another, one seraphim cried to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." The prophet said, or God said through the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 40, and I think he's looking, considering the stars in the heavens. "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of His might and the strength of His power. Not one is missing." The universe exhibits complex functional design. And by definition, complex functional design demands a designer. Every house is built by someone. But He who built all things is God. Hebrews 3, verse 4. You see, atheists are fond of claiming that their way of thinking is logical, reasonable, and intellectual. Yet atheism irrationally says that everything came from nothing. Atheism says that an explosion caused exquisite order. Atheism says that random chances produced precision and life popped into existence in nature from non-life. Atheism contends that a well-designed universe should come about without a designer. That just doesn't make sense. I appreciated the title of a book, "I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist." Theism, on the other hand, makes much more sense, because matter demands a maker. Life demands a life giver. Design demands a designer. Anthony Flew, again, his conclusion, I must say again that the journey to my discovery of the divine has thus far been a pilgrimage of reason. I have followed the argument where it has led me. And it has led me to accept the existence of a self-existent, immutable, immaterial, omnipotent, and omniscient being. Here's a quote from Brad Herob. If there is a supreme being, then life has inherent purpose and some form of meaning. The very existence of a creator logically indicates there was a plan that included mankind. If there is a God, he's saying, life has inherent purpose and meaning. Colossians chapter 1. For by him, Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him, and here you go, and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In closing, I underscore two words. For him. There's your purpose. For him. Our purpose is found in giving our lives to him and living for him, to bring glory to him, our Creator, but not just our Creator, our Savior. Because God loved us so much that even though we corrupted our image that was his, we corrupted it with sin, he loved us so much that he gave us Jesus to die for our sins so that we can be washed from our sins and continually washed as we walk in the light of his word and inherit that heavenly home. And that is realized when we realize our purpose. Why do you exist? Why are you alive today? We can give this answer. For him. For him. Perhaps this morning you're ready to accept that mission, accept that purpose for your life by surrendering your life to him. Having turned from sin and repentance, you're ready to confess Jesus before this assembly and be baptized into Christ so your sins can be washed away. So that you can realize that purpose for which you've been created. It may be that we've gotten off course and we need to come back. We may need the prayers of the church on our behalf for some struggle that we're facing. One of the blessings of being in him is having that communication with God through prayer. This church would love to pray with you and for you if you'll just let that be known. And won't you come right now as we stand and sing.